Thank you, David. You know, we're going to test your history here. Benjamin Franklin once said that there are only two certain things in life. What are those? Death and taxes. That's exactly right. Death and taxes are the only two certainties. You know, of course, as Christians, we know that of another certain thing, and that is the love of God. But I, Bob Montgomery, have discovered two more incontrovertible certain things in life, things that happen every time in every season and that never change and that never fail. The first incontrovertible certain thing is that I don't want to come to prayer meeting. I don't want to come to any gathering of the Christian community of God's delight. You know, when it comes time to leave or it's time to get ready to go, what happens? Well, I want to watch golf, or I want to play golf, or I want to watch football, or I want to watch basketball or baseball or hockey or soccer or hi-lai or curling or anything else. Or I want to nap. I want to read. I want to go for a walk. I want to have a late lunch. I want to have an early dinner. It seems like, you know, there's this conga line of excuses about why not to go to the gathering. It's a certainty. But I said that there are two certain things that I've discovered. And the last one, the last certainty, is that I'm always glad I came. I'm always glad that I'm with you. Where else in the wide, wide world can you see Jesus? Where can you experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Where can you be part of something bigger than yourself? Where can you have your heart enlarged? Where can you grow in fervor? And where can you see, actually see, miracles happen? Where else? In Acts 2, 1 through 12, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear them, each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Persia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Crete or to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues of the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? They were all together in one place. Together. Matthew 18:20 says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And you know, the church tells us that Christ is present to us in three ways. He's present in the Eucharist, he's present in his priests, and he is present in his people. Today, as we began praising God together, didn't you feel the presence of Christ in this place? Yes. John 15 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. Didn't you feel like you got plugged in when you came here, as you got plugged in to the vine as one of the branches? Do you ever feel this anywhere else? Now, perhaps you may have experienced it at church. Perhaps you may have have gone to a retreat that was particularly meaningful where you felt it, or you might have gone to a charismatic conference. However, here, with God's delight, you can feel that at every single gathering. And that's for one simple reason, and that is because Jesus is here in our midst. Here you can experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2:4, it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Well, what's happened here today? Has anyone here been filled with the Holy Spirit and exercised a spiritual gift? Yes. Amen. I certainly saw and heard the Holy Spirit in our midst. And I guarantee you, Mike and David are going to summarize our gathering here in just a minute if I give them time. And I can guarantee you that they will discern and comment on what the Holy Spirit is doing and saying in our midst. Not 2,000 years ago, not 30 years ago. They're going to be talking about what the Holy Spirit is doing in our midst today. Now, 2 weeks ago, Sharon asked the question, do you desire to receive and exercise spiritual gifts when you're not at a prayer meeting? And I've got to admit, I was really convicted by that question, because the truth is that we should always and everywhere be seeking guidance from the Holy Spirit, and that we should be practicing His gifts everywhere and always. I'm always happy when I hear John get up and he talks about what the Holy Spirit said to him in his prayer time this week. And he shares that with us as a gift of the Holy Spirit. Here in this place and everywhere the community of God's delight meets, the Holy Spirit is with us. And He graces us with His gifts. And what wonderful gifts they are. Here is a place I can be part of something bigger than myself. Our covenant, David talked about our covenant statement. I'd like to read just a little bit of it. God has invited us to enter into a deeper relationship with Him. He is offering to be our God and is asking that we be His people. He is inviting us to enter into this deeper relationship in a special way as members of the Christian community of God's delight. He is forming us into a people for Himself and has confirmed and further revealed His call to us by giving us this name, the name by which He Himself calls us. And that name is God's delight. Let's face it, having an identity is one of the greatest things that there is. We desperately, each of us, need to have an identity personally, especially an identity as a beloved son or daughter of the King. We heard that in the interpretation of tongues that we heard just today. But having an identity as a people where we know we're loved, where we know that we're safe, and where we know we'll be cared for is simply indescribable. It's wonderful. And meeting together as that people, whether it's at our regular prayer meetings or it's our regular small group gatherings, that plugs us in and allows us to embrace that identity of the people of God's delight. Here, I can have my heart enlarged. Normally, I gravitate to people that are a whole lot like me. They're folks that live in North Dallas. Usually, they're old white guys. They are Republican, they are golfers, and most of them are definitely north of 50, and most of them now are north of 60. The body of Christ, though, is so much more diverse. It includes everybody. It includes those Parthians, the Medes, and even those pesky Egyptians. People of every race, every creed and color, men and women, young and old, North Dallasites, South Dallasites, people with money, people without any money, people with jobs, people without jobs, people that are healthy, and we have people that are sick. And guess what? In Acts, as you go through that list of people that are voiced in Acts, every single one of those people heard of the mighty works of God in their own language. That's a miracle, you know, just in itself. But it also has this deep meaning that God is reaching out to each one of them, and he's reaching out to each one of us. He wants us to know of him and love him. He wants us, just like he loves us. And if I can be part of that by being a part of you, that certainly enlarges my heart. This is a place that I can grow in fervor. When I attend any of our gatherings, whether it's a prayer meeting, whether it's a Bible study, whether it's a small group meeting, a retreat, a celebration like a wedding or a funeral, or whether I log on online for an online meeting, I hear and I see what God is doing. Many times it's simply because you tell me about it. And you know what? That's exciting. It is just exciting seeing and hearing evidence of the living God active in our lives today is exciting. And that causes me to see where, you know, maybe there's a small thing where I totally missed what God was doing in my own life. And when I see those things, it creates a joy in my heart and I feel the Father's love for me. And that causes me to pray more. It causes me to seek him more. It causes me to read more scripture, to share my life more, to witness more. It helps grow me into the saint that God is calling me to be. In short, it makes me grow in fervor, and I can't do that by myself. Meeting with community is where I see miracles happen, or I hear about miracles great and small. This is a real unusual meeting. It's very small, and we didn't have a whole lot of sharings, but almost every time we get together, we hear about a miracle that the Lord has done in our midst. And, you know, we hear how God has healed someone, how he's protected someone, how he's provided for someone, or how he has loved someone. And I got to admit to you, I rarely hear any of that on the golf course. And so, I conclude that I truly have discovered these two new certainties. I get to go down with Benjamin Franklin. Maybe it'll be in a book somewhere. You know, when I don't want to come to our events, our prayer meetings, our small gatherings, our retreats, or any other gathering, I know that it's either because of the weakness of my own flesh, or I know that it's an attack of the evil one, who we know never wants us to gather together. Because when we gather, we see Jesus, we experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we get to be a part of something bigger, we get to have our hearts enlarged, we get to grow in fervor and see miracles happen. So let's commit to remembering this and to accept this gift of gathering together that Christ has provided for us. Amen.